Well, good morning, everybody. Again, hope everybody's doing well by God's grace. Let me begin with prayer, and we'll begin our lesson. Well, Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, and we thank you, Lord, for this morning that you have blessed us with, God. Thank you for giving us breath and most of all life in Christ, God. Thank you for bringing us into a relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would bless this morning, God. I pray that you would help me, Lord, to share some of these truths, God, that I have prepared here, Lord. I pray you would give me much grace as you have been so gracious to me as always. Lord, I pray you for help this morning, God. Lord, I pray not only will you work this morning, but also in the main service as Brother Jeff Price comes to speak. I pray you would help him, Lord. Help your people be blessed by what he has to say. May you help us this morning, God. May you give us more of your presence. May you give us more love for Christ. And may you help us view your Son's love for us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our lesson today is on the importance of private prayer. And I'll be looking at the passage of Matthew chapter 14. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 14, we'll look at that passage and begin there as a springboard to talk about the importance of private prayer. I think we'll Matthew chapter 14 will begin in verse 15 and stop at verse 25 just to help with the context. Okay. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place. The day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass and take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. I thought we'll just stop at verse 23. And verse 23, it says this again. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on top of the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. So I want to use this verse as a springboard to talk about private prayer. And I think this is an area that I believe that we want to grow in. Just to give a context, so there's other accounts of this particular account here in Matthew. You have different accounts where Jesus, you get more detail, like John chapter 6, it says right after he feeds the crowds. As a matter of fact, right after he teaches the crowds, right after he feeds the crowds and also heals them, they immediately try to take him and make him as king. And John chapter 6, you'll find that account talking about this specific account. But here it says, after that, after he feeds them, he goes up. Verse 23, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. So it's important to talk about this subject because this is an area, like I said, that it's private prayer. It's being alone with God. It's very important that we try to prioritize our life to have this specific means, this specific practice, that it be essential. And I want to look at four things in this text here. Four things that are very helpful. It's just found in verse 23. Four things that will be very helpful. The first thing I want to look at is that he went up, it says the verse. We read it again. He says, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain. He went up. When I look at this verse, he went up, I think there's some truth here to know that you find Jesus, he's very intentional what he's doing. He has a choice to make. He has to go up. He makes the choice. He's determined for this particular area in his life to go seek God. It says he went up. He went up. And I think that's very important for us to learn that when we want to, you know, seek God to have private prayer, that we have to make decisions. We have to make plans. We have to make plans to seek after God. We have to plan our schedule. We have to be prioritizing our life. And this takes discipline. It takes discipline to go. To go and have secret private prayer with God. It's one of the means that God grows us to be holy. It's also a means that we depend upon Him. We depend upon Him. You know, J.C. Ryle asked this. He said, what is the reason that some believers are so much brighter and holier than others? And the answer, he says, out of years of experience. And he answered, I believe that those who are not eminently holy pray little. When a man is once converted, he progresses and holiness will be, his progress in holiness will be much in accordance with his own diligence and the use of God's appointed means. And then he goes on and says this, and I confidently assert that the principal means by which most believers have become great in the Church of Christ is the habit of diligent private prayer. This is what J.C. Ryle quotes. So it's one of the means that God helps us to grow, to be holy. But you have to train yourself. You have to train yourself. You have to train yourself for the purpose of going to seek God. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this, in verse 7 and 8, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. So being intentional, making plans to go and seek God is really important. And you have to have some wisdom. You remember Jeff's message last time? He says that, you know, you have to have some wisdom. Some of us are wired different. Some of us, you know, we can't wake up early in the morning. Some of us are early birds. Maybe that might be helpful, getting up in the morning for you to pray. Or some of us are night owls. We pray at night. And some of us are in the middle. I don't know what kind of bird is that, but middle bird. So we have to be wise with our time. Wise with the time, like Jeff mentioned, that we're wired a different way. So we have to be disciplined. Know ourselves. So it's going to take discipline. It's going to take steps towards that end. I think it's helpful not to set high goals for yourself. Like, I'm going to go pray for 3 hours today. And then you set those goals and you crash because you're struggling with even 15 minutes of prayer in your life. So you have to be mindful of that. You got to set times, maybe set certain periods throughout the day to pray. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. The more you do it, the more you can spend time with God. And if you're weak in this area, this is why we want to depend upon God. We want to ask Him to help us. You know the Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, draw me after you. And there's a reality that we need to depend upon God to help us, to grow us in private prayer. Draw me after you, Lord. Help me to pray. Help me to discipline myself. And some of us are, if you're struggling and you're not practicing this habit, then you want to ask God to restore you. You know, restore you, Lord. Restore my private prayer in my life. Help me, Lord, to grow in this area. You think about Psalms 51. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. We want God to give us a willing spirit to cultivate private prayer with Him. And if that's an area that you're struggling in, know that God is graciously willing to hear you and to restore to you this area of cultivating private prayer. And we need to be revived in this area if we're growing slack in it. And don't let nothing get in the way, be in the way of you coming to the Lord in prayer. But persevere in prayer, even with unanswered prayer. Maybe with even unanswered prayer. But persevere. And don't let anything keep you from cultivating private prayer. Not even devices or anything. Whatever it is. You know yourself. I know myself. Or even sins. Don't hold on to sins. That will hinder your prayer life. And if we're in that area, we're struggling in sin, we need to repent. Because He says, if anyone regards iniquity in his heart, the Lord will not hear. So that will keep us from cultivating private prayer. But at the same time, that should make us go to God. Because He's merciful, He's compassionate, He's willing to forgive you if you confess your sins in that area. You got to humble yourself if you're struggling in this area. That'd be very helpful. You know, James chapter 4 verse 60, but He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. And verse 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. So you submit yourself to God. Humble yourself before God. Open your heart before Him. Tell Him, Lord, I need help in this area. I want to know You more. And I'm pretty sure, for sure, us being believers, that's one of our heart's desires, to know God more. To know God more. To know God. So another point from this passage, or from this verse here, another point that would help us be intentional and purposeful in seeking God, finding the right place to pray to Him. This leads us to our next point. It says that He went up on the mountain to pray. Upon a mountain to pray, it says. I mean, notice the Lord not only is intentional, purposeful, but He goes to that particular place that He wants to spend time with God. The incarnate Word, spending time with the Father. That lets you know how much more us should we spend time with God. But He went up on top of the mountain to pray. A location, a place to pray. Whether it be in the closet, in the house, or on top of a mountain to pray. But you got to find a particular spot, area in your life to go pray. For private prayer. It's important. This is why Christ mentioned. But when you pray, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, he said, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Though the context here in Matthew chapter 6 is dealing with how not to pray with the religious Pharisees at the time. He says, don't pray like them, but you pray, you go into your room and you pray. Most definitely private prayer is a heart issue too. It's a heart issue too. So we want to pray in secret to God. We want to pray in secret to God from the heart. But He says, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I remember John MacArthur quoting something about this verse. He says, you know, I love praying to God in secret because I know that everything that I tell Him, He won't tell anyone else. So this is one of the purposes of private prayer, is to go to God and cast certain cares upon Him. I think Jeff mentioned last time, he said that there are certain things that you can't confess with other people, and you have to deal with God alone with them. And there's certain things that you have to deal with people. You have to share certain burdens with people. But you, as Jeff mentioned in one of his messages, you have to be wise about that. But know that it's very encouraging for us to know that we can go to God in secret prayer and just share our heart with Him. Certain areas in our life. And we know confidently that He won't go tell anyone about them. So finding a place to pray is helpful. Our Jesus exemplifies that by going upon a mountain. He prays on the mountain. But finding a place to pray, a quiet place, wherever you can be attentive to, wherever you can be attentive and focus on God and not be distracted is actually, that's the main thing, is to be focused and not distracted. Whatever environment that you might be, that might be helpful for you to be alert. And some of us might not have a closet or a room or a mountain to pray. I remember staying with one brother. One bedroom apartment, he would go in his closet, really go in his closet to pray, and I would have to go to the park to pray because we stayed in one bedroom apartment. So you have to be wise and find some areas to go pray, whether walking to the park or going somewhere quiet. Or driving, when you're driving to work, that'd be helpful. Going to work. I'm trying to be practical. Hopefully this is helpful, but just practical things like that when you're driving to work. You can pray from there or from back from work. But I believe, my friends, that no matter what, there's always time to private pray. Even when it's busy. You might have to cover your ears in a noisy area and pray. I don't know if you probably heard this story, probably more than I have, but have you heard of Susanna Wesley when she prayed? She covered herself with an apron over her head to pray. So she had 19 children. Imagine that. 19 children and still found time to pray. It says this by someone, he wrote this. He says, Susanna's trick was to pull her apron over her head, signaling to them and anyone around that she was in prayer and not to be disturbed. In an age where moms consistently lament about not being able to go to the bathroom alone, Susanna found a way to have time alone by disappearing under a piece of fabric. So anywhere you can pray. Anywhere. One brother quoted this, pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. And pray until you feel like it. No matter where, pray. There's another point I want to mention. And by the way, I brought this book. If you ever get a chance, this book would be very helpful. It's called How Can I Cultivate Private Prayer by Joe Beatty. If you haven't got this booklet, it's not that. It's only about 35 pages. You can read. This is actually helpful for me. I wish I read it before I prepared more, before I prepared. But I read it during and at the end, kind of. But if you don't have time to make it to a specific location, to go pray, you can be prepping your heart during the day for that particular area, that location for you to private pray. Prepping your heart. You know the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I remember another story. I think this is a really good story of a monthly meeting of ministers in London. You probably heard this as well. A meeting of ministers in London, a question was proposed to be discussed at the meeting. And the question was, how can we always pray? How can we pray always? And a woman at the bottom of the room attending to the fire turned around and said, humbly, she said this. She said, in the morning, when I wake up, when I open my eyes, I pray the Lord open the eyes of my understanding, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. While I'm dressing, I pray, Lord, may I be clothed in the robe of righteousness and adorned with the garments of salvation. As I am washing myself, I pray, O Lord, may I be washed in the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And when I'm kindling a fire, I pray, O Lord, kindle a fire of sacred love in this cold heart of mine. And while I'm sweeping the room, I pray, Lord, may my heart be swept clean of all of its abominations. And then she replied, and so, gentlemen, I pray all the day, prepping your heart to pray, certain things like that. I think I can do way more better in my walk if I were to do that at work. Now, there's a lot of areas at my work I can use to prep my heart. Like when I'm messing with the dough, the pizza dough, and over there forming it, I can be like, oh, Lord, form me, conform me to the image of Christ. And there's certain areas in your job that you can use that to prep your heart to pray. You can pray always. So there's not an excuse not to pray. I mean, you have to be wise at work, of course. You want to honor the Lord there, but there's times and moments where you can stop throughout the day. There's those moments, especially at work. I'm busy. I got tickets coming in. I'm trying to cook at work. And there's moments when it slows down, and I can stop and just thank God. Thank God, like, Lord, thank you for this job you've given me. I don't deserve this. You've been so gracious to me. I'm able to provide for the things I need. Lord, I thank you for this. And that's a prepping your heart to cultivate praying to God and giving Him thanks. You can do that. Especially if you're a homeschool mom, you're there, you have the kids running around, and you have those moments of stopping. It's like, Lord, thank you. I don't deserve these kids. You've been so gracious to me to bless me with them. You've been so gracious to me to give me, you know, all these things around me. Anywhere. You've been so gracious to provide for my house, and you have given me clothes, and all these things. So whether you have kids or you don't have kids, if you're a single man, you'd be thanking God everywhere. Thanking God everywhere. Or so another point is that I want to talk about is, the verse says this, that verse 23 says, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. That's the third point there, by himself to pray. And basically this teaches here, don't let anyone or anything get in the way of you seeking to privately pray with God. No social media, no phones, whatever it is, you know it. I'm not saying that social media is bad, or phones, or games, or things like that. But if it's distracting you and keeping you from private prayer, then you have to prioritize your life. You have to ask some deep questions, some challenging questions about your walk with the Lord. You want to be wise, you don't want to be legalistic, but man, Christ died for you, not that you may live for yourself no more, but to live for Him. Who died? Who died for you? But you have to be by your. Look at Christ. He says he was by himself. By himself, he went to pray. And you cannot let anything get in the way. Not even ministry get in the way. I mean, here you look at Christ. Here he just healed and fed thousands of people. You would think like, oh Lord, stay there, preach the gospel to them. You got to disciple these people. I mean, look at the crowds here. But he dismissed them and he went away. You find that in the life of Christ when he's praying at certain areas. There's another account where he goes into Peter's mother-in-law's house and he heals her. I think it was Simon Peter's house and his mother-in-law was there and he heals her. And there's so many people are brought to him in this account where he's healing them. I'm pretty sure he's preaching the gospel to them. But it says that he rose early in the morning and left to go pray. With a full day of ministry, you would think, man, this is fruitful. Lord, keep on. But he had time to go seek God. He made it a priority in his life to seek after God. So don't let anything get in the way, because, I mean, it's not enough. It's not enough to be in ministry or even fellowship with the saints. It's not enough for my spiritual life. I need God, alone time with God. It doesn't mean that those other things are very vital. Fellowship with the saints, you have to be wise in that. That's one of the means that God has given us. And it might be one of the means that God uses to encourage you in private prayer. But there should be that alone time with God. And we have to be wise with that. And you don't want to fall into the other extreme where you find yourself not devoted in prayer and then you begin to neglect the other means. For example, I thought of this example. You find yourself not devoted to prayer and then you make a plan to meet with someone to fellowship with them, and then you find yourself, you didn't spend time with God, so you have to counsel. Then you get home and then you pray. And then when you go home to pray, you probably pray about 5 minutes and then you get distracted. So we got to be wise and depend upon the Lord's grace in those times. To not neglect private prayer, but also at the same time, to not fall into the extreme and neglect these other means that God has blessed us with. Like the fellowship of the saints. And I know there's different circumstances in that, but the Lord's Supper... and practicing these other means that God has given us, hospitality, things like that. And what time are we stopping, Jeff?
Whenever you're done.
Okay. That's it. Simple. Because I think I might be hit. Okay. So, yeah, it's not enough to be in these other things. It's not enough. But we need to spend time with God. And you find that in the perfect account of Christ displaying that. You find that in his life. He went by himself. He made a decision to go while he was in the midst of people who were trying to make him king as well. Especially in this context. This is the context of them trying to make him king. They have a political agenda here, and Christ is not for that right there and now, in this chapter 14. He doesn't. He has one thing. He needs to go to the cross. So he's not going to be persuaded by men. So he goes by himself to go pray. So another point, this will be my last point here. It said it goes on to say in verse 23, Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, it says this, "And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on top of the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone." When evening came, he was there alone, it says. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. When evening came, he was there alone. I like the way that Matthew records this. He puts this, when evening was there. If you look up, I think from verse, let's see here. Above passages where he says this. Now it was, okay, verse 15. In the same context, he says this in verse 15. "Now it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place.'" And then he goes on. And he's there spending the day with them, teaching them, healing them, and feeding them. And you won't get all this in this passage, but there's certain other passages that gives you more detail about this. Like I think it's Luke chapter 9, and then John chapter 6 that gives you details about what else is going on in this time. But he says here in verse 15, "Now when evening, the disciples came to him." And then if you read 23, it says, "by himself to pray when evening came." So he was there from the evening of that day all the way until the next day of the evening. So he spent a lot of time of praying. And not only that, if you look at the other verse here, verse 25, it says, or verse 24, "But the boat by this time was long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against him. And in the fourth watch of the night he came to them." You see? So it was from evening that same day that he feeds the thousands until the next evening when he's praying. That evening he was praying. And then the next morning at the fourth watch, which is 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 or 6. So he spent all that time alone with God. And that just teaches you there simply this, is that we need to spend more time with God. Now, you don't want to set high goals to pray like that. You have other responsibilities that God has given us. You want to be wise with that. You know that God is gracious. He knows our frailty. But at the same time, we can learn this, that he spent quality time with God. I mean, this is the whole purpose for the Christian walk, is to know God, to spend time with Him. To spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. So, I just want to give a question here. So what is going to motivate us to be intentional and determined to find a place in our life to prioritize our private prayer? What's going to motivate us to be intentional, to go up? Like he said, he went up the mountain. What's going to motivate us to go up upon finding a specific place to go pray? What's going to motivate us to spend this quality time with God? It's going to be God Himself. It's the one who we're praying to that's going to motivate us. And this is the motivation. The motivation to pursue God in private prayer is that He pursued me. He pursued me. He pursued you. It's the motivation. I want to seek God because He pursued me. Therefore, I'm going to pursue Him in prayer. You know, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, therefore, remember at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, what is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinance, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those and peace to those who were near. For through Him, verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 2, for through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. You find God, He pursues you. He comes to save you. And He made us children of God, born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. So He has saved me by His life, by the life of His Son, by the death of His Son, by the resurrection of His Son, and gave me the right to become a child of God. So that's going to motivate us to pursue God, is that He came and saved me to bring me to Himself. So He brought me into this relationship with Him. He brought us into this relationship. He brought you into this relationship with Him, that you may have union in Him, and He also gives us the privilege to be in communion with Him, to pray to Him. Know this, brothers and sisters, that He desires us to pray to Him. Again, the motivation to pursue Christ in prayer, to cultivate private prayer, is His pursuit of me, His pursuit of you. He desires to pray. He desires for you to pray to Him. We should not look at the prayers and the commands on prayer not only in a way that we should just go pray, but we should look at it that He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our desires, our wants, and our burdens, our praise to Him, and our thanks to Him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. His pursuit of us you should encourage you. To encourage you. And I want to show you that. I mean, you see that in the Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. His pursuit of us should encourage us. If you look at chapter 2 in Songs of Solomon, you see this picture of Christ coming for His bride. The way He treats her, the way He looks at her. And it's the same way that He desires and the way He looks at us. In chapter 2 it says this. You can turn there if you wanted, Songs of Solomon chapter 2. I want to encourage, I want to motivate you to pray to the Lord in private prayer. He should be our motivation. But if you notice in Songs of Solomon chapter 2, he says this. In verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes. This is the bride speaking. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes. Leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, there he stands behind our wall. But notice, it says the voice of my beloved. And notice his energy, his willingness to come to the bride. He's leaping over mountains. He's bounding over the hills for this lady here. And this is a picture of the beloved Christ and his beloved church. But it says this, but oh, he comes leaping over the mountains. And notice verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes. You know that he's coming. He's coming. I think Matthew Henry wrote this about verse 8. He says, she hears him speak, and the voice of my beloved. It is the voice of my beloved. Let me repeat this. She hears him speak. It is the voice of my beloved. Calling me to tell me he's coming, like one of his own sheep. She knows his voice before she sees him, and can easily distinguish it from the voice of a stranger. So this beloved here is hearing the voice of him coming. She hasn't seen him yet, but she hears his voice like a sheep hears a shepherd. And this is how he comes. I mean, if you're in Christ, you should not be ashamed hearing the voice of God. Because you're not in Adam. You don't have to be ashamed like Adam when he was in the garden when he heard the voice of God. Because you're in Christ. And he's willing to receive you. So you have this small picture here of Christ coming. Leaping over the mountains. Leaping over the mountains to come for his bride. And this is how God views us in prayer. It's not like He's like slouching, walking slowly because he hears you begin to pray. And he's like, oh, she's praying again, or he's praying again. Don't they know that I'm busy? Don't they know that I'm in bed already? He's knocking on the door. He's not like that. But he's speedily ready to come and help us. He's speedily ready to hear us. He's not like that. But this is our Lord. If you notice verse in that same chapter, notice verse 14. O my dove, in the cliffs of the rock, and the grannies of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. That's how he views us when we go pray to him. Because we're in Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. When you go pray, he hears that voice. He says, sweet is your voice, because there's a fragrance coming up to God. And that should motivate you to come seek God. Because He came seeking after you. He came seeking after you. This should motivate us to spend time with Christ. Because He was willing to lay down His life for us. To spend time with Him. God, who is outside of time, who took the time to make the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, took the time to send His Son to die for the ungodly, at the right time to bring them to Himself so He can spend eternity with them. Let me spend all the time with God. I mean, He did this for you. He's so merciful and so gracious to us. So that should motivate us to spend that quality time with God, to know Him. To know Him. And one thing also to point out in verse 8, the voice of my beloved, it's very helpful to have the scriptures with you when you're trying to cultivate private prayer. You want to hear His voice. It's not only you speaking to God. Communion is not only you praying to God, but it's also Him, you hearing God's voice. Him speaking to you. It's a two-way conversation. So it would be very helpful to have the means that God has given us, His Word. So that's what's going to help us, to motivate us. I wanted to bring out those truths to motivate you to be willing, be intentional, make certain plans and schedules. Don't get yourself distracted. Do what it takes to cultivate private prayer. And if you need help, as I said, ask the Lord to help you, to give you a willing spirit, to set certain times throughout the day to pray. Because we need God. It says here that in the evening He was there alone. He was with God. I think one of the failures in my own life is that I'm not seeking God as I ought to. It's one of the reasons why I probably struggle at work a lot. Because not only do I need God in a specific area of my life and one, like in my certain room, but I need God at work too. I need to prep. I need to be prepping my heart to ask God to be with me. I need Him to be with me. I need His presence. I need His presence to be with me. I need His presence. I like that story that Paul Washer gives when he's talking about the presence of God. He mentions, there's some times when I'm packing my bags and I'm making my way out the door. Here's my son. He says, and my son comes up to me and says, "Ian, go with Daddy. Ian, go with Daddy. Or Daddy, stay with Ian." So that's like the heart that we want to have. It's like, "God, go with me." This is what empowers us for the Christian walk. This is what empowers us for ministry and building up the saints in the church, is that you be alone with God. You practice private prayer. I mean, this is what my coworkers need. This is what my coworkers need. This is what my family needs. This is what my mom needs, is me to, when it comes down to me, to be more Christ-like, me to depend upon God, that I may share the gospel with them, effectual, if by God's grace, if He brings the increase. I mean, this is what our church needs, is people to seek after God and know God more. This is what your wife needs, or this is what your husband needs. This is what your mother needs. You to seek after God. And He's willing, like I said in Songs of Solomon chapter 2, He's willing, He comes, willing to hear your voice. So I just want to end there. Hopefully that will be a motivation in some of these truths to help you to cultivate private prayer in your life. Because I know I need them. I need them for sure. I need them for sure. I think God is so gracious. It's humbling to hear like certain preachers. I remember hearing one preacher. He said, they asked him about private prayer, and he said, "You know, that's a humbling thing to ask a minister if I pray often. And you know what? I had the privilege one day to go hear this man preach, and he preached with so much power and so much influence. And then I heard one time Paul Washer too mentioned that there's some times where he can preach with little prayer in his life, and he'll just preach powerfully. And there's been some times he'll spend hours in prayer, and then he go preaches, and it feels like bricks coming out of his mouth. And he says, "I think God does that, and I thank God for those times because it makes me depend upon God and not the physical act of being disciplined to pray, but depending upon the one whom you're praying to." But, well, hopefully the Lord will help you in these areas. Let me just end here, and I think, do we have time to pray here, Jeff?
About 8 minutes.
Well, we're just going to be dismissed. Let me pray and dismiss us. Well, Father, I just thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your kindness towards me, Lord. Lord, I know that You're the only one that can help, Lord, and bring the increase. God, anything that was said that would be helpful, Lord, and encouraging, may You bring the increase. Anything that was wrong and anything that was not according to Your Word, God, may You take it away. God, I pray You would give us more of Your presence, God. Help us to view You as the motivation to seek You and be alone with You, God. Lord, help us, Lord. Help everyone here, even the little children, Lord. Please help the little children, God, to seek after You, Lord. I pray for Jeff Price as he prepares to preach, I pray You be with him, God. You give him much power and much help so he can build up Your body, Lord, that the saints can be encouraged and seek after You, Lord, and depend upon You. Lord, I thank You again for this morning, Lord. May You bless every person here, Lord. May You do a great work. Amen.